Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Roswell Anniversary Week was always going to bring rumour, but this year the timing is impossible to ignore. We have got Anna Paulina Luna saying an announcement is coming soon. David Grush talked about a 60 to 90 day window, of which we're getting towards that 90 day period. Eric Burleson says Congress has forced Lincoln Labs to confirm the existence of an important 1952 UEP audio file. Lou Elizondo is being pressed over his potential role in the UEP legacy programme. Ross Coulter is not backing down on that one. UEP GERB has Hal Puthoff clarifying what did and did not end when it comes to the UEP legacy programmes. And of course, Dr. Stephen Greer gets in on the act and calls for a global bypass of the US disclosure process. So what are we actually watching right now, folks? Is this real momentum? Is it a controlled drip feed? Or is it another cycle of soon? This is the week where Roswell's history, congressional pressure, mainstream media, infighting and soft disclosure all seem to collide. A lot of smoke here, folks. Now we need the fire. Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and thanks for joining me on what's a pretty busy news update. There's been so many stories happening over the last week, and I think about to happen in the coming days. I thought this was a really good chance to get something out, because so many of you have been in touch on various platforms asking for comments on various different news stories, and I kept putting this off because something else was happening every other day. I thought it was a good time and place to just spend the weekend, get a recording done, especially when so many of you out there are going to be celebrating your 4th of July holiday weekends. Of course, when the US saved the world from annihilation from non-human entities with Will Smith, Bill Pullman and co, still the GOAT of UFO movies, Independence Day, folks. So if you're watching that this weekend, let me know what you think. Does it still hold up? But this is a big week. It has been a big week, and I think we've got a big week coming up. It is the anniversary of the Roswell crash. Well, one of the anniversary dates. So a lot of symbolism, I think, around this at the moment. It's always big in UFO circles. Out in New Mexico, there is the big festival right now. The famous public moment is July 8th, 1947, when, of course, the Roswell Army Field Press release said they had recovered a flying disc. Of course, they then went to backtrack on that. The story, famously, they say, no, it was actually a weather balloon, you know, and we know from there the cover-up began. But the real story didn't really begin on July 11th. I'm not doing a whole Roswell show here, folks. I've done various ones of those in the past. But many versions of the story take it back to early June. That is partly where the official Project Mogul weather balloon explanation came in, because balloons were launched around that time. It was alleged around mid-June when Mac Brazel actually found the debris on the farm. It wasn't reported till later in the month into early July. So Roswell is certainly not one clean date. It's a messy chain of events, as we know. Alleged crash, debris, ranch discovery, you know, military recoveries, flying disc headlines, of course, really famously. I'd love to get one of those posters for the shed. And then the whole balloon walk back thing. And we've been here fighting about it ever since, haven't we? So yeah, but I think this year a lot of folks are pointing to this, because for many, many months, largely down to director Mark Christopher Lee, the king of UFOs, Twitter account. And let's be fair, let me just say, in my opinion, has been full of shit. Because since I had him on the podcast, within hours after that, his whole story sort of unraveled. He's been saying that Bob Bigelow was in touch with him, telling him Trump had a disclosure speech written and it was coming out. George Knapp then said he spoke to Bob Bigelow, who said that was utter nonsense. He was not in touch with the guy. So yeah, I would love to get that UEP disclosure speech happen on the 8th of July, folks. You know, colour me pink and tickle my butt, whatever they say. If that does happen, I'll be over the moon, right, if we get that speech on the 8th of July, if Donald Trump comes out and says some kind of major UEP announcement. But I'm interested on the date, but I see it coming and going with nothing happening in terms of that. So yeah, it could be we get another drop on that date. We're still waiting on the fourth drop of UAP files and videos happening, if indeed that is going to happen. It's frustrating, isn't it? We don't have a concrete date with these tranches, as people like to call them, or the drops of files. They just seem to happen. It was meant to be every 2 weeks, then every couple of weeks, but we've had a 2, a 3, and now at least a 4 week gap between drops. So yeah, I'm not saying that nothing is going to happen. There's clearly movement around the whole subject right now, especially with the Avi Loeb Security Council. Remember, I've got Dr. Michael Shermer on the podcast this week, who's really controversially attached to it. Luna's comments about something coming soon. She was on the Glenn Beck show. I'm going to get to that in a second. And yeah, a lot of rumours around this week and what may or may not happen. But as always, it's the UFO topic. We could be sitting here in a week's time saying, well, another date has come and gone. But it would be nice if there was a change on that. Let's get into the Anna Paulina Luna comments then. We're going to start there because there's so much to cover off in this particular show. She has said publicly something is coming in the following days. I'm going to play a very quick clip from Anna Paulina Luna on the Glenn Beck show. So I'll play that for you now.
Do you know something that has not been released? Do you know things that you feel the American people should know?
There will be an announcement soon on one other kind of factor to all this.
So there we go, folks. As you heard, Anna Paulina Luna was asked directly whether she knows things that have not been released. She says there will be an announcement soon, which she thinks, and the wording's interesting here for me, she thinks will help assure people the phenomenon is real. She then said, without a doubt, the phenomenon is real. I'm not too sure where Luna falls on this, because in the same video, it's a couple of minutes long, she says that the meat and potatoes again, you know, a lot of that stuff has been released. But then in the next line, we're hearing that something else is coming soon. She has said before the bulk of the interesting stuff essentially has been released. And that's just not true, because Burleson, Burchett, Moskowitz, Marco Rubio, and so many others have said this is literally the tip of the iceberg in terms of content. So I'm not too sure the game that Luna is playing in all of this. Is she, and I have to just put these things out there, is she literally a little bit confused? Is she only privy to certain things that others haven't been exposed to? Perhaps she didn't want to be exposed to a lot of the content for plausible deniability, but she seems quite certain in what she says. So like I say, on one hand, we're getting some really good stuff coming down the pipeline. On the other, don't be too excited, because most of the good stuff's out and we just know that little bit's not true. So yeah, for me, it does tie in with the fact David Grush said around 60 odd days ago now that we were going to have something coming within the next 60 to 90 days that he is working on, he is a part of, that is going to really help move this forward. And he wasn't alluding to video drops and file drops. It seems to be something else. So that for me would tie in with what Luna said. Honestly, I've got folks asking me, what do I think it will be? At this point, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think it's going to be photographic. I don't think it's going to be video. It sounds like it's something else. And if it's something a little bit left field, that could really help with the legitimacy of the topic. It could help move things forward. And that wording from Luna to talk about this phenomenon is real, I wonder what that could be. Are we going to get Trump saying something on it? Will it be in 4 or 5 days' time on the 8th of July around the Roswell anniversary? We'll find out sooner than later, because that 90-day window is going to come and go pretty quickly. So I'm intrigued to see what happens on that one, folks. On this, a lot of folks have asked me a little bit, keeping with Anna Paulina Luna, to talk about the MK Ultra hearing that happened last Tuesday. Now, I covered this a couple of times on various podcasts in the last month or two, what MK Ultra was. The hearing was about historic CIA abuse, about mind control experimentation, destroyed records, accountability. And it matters because it shows Congress is willing to revisit historic secrecy and state abuse, but it's not directly tied to UAP. So while this is really interesting for me, right, and I'm liking seeing stuff like this happening, is this side quest right now necessary when you're hoping that the Secrets Task Force with Luna, Burchett and co, who were involved in this, Nancy Mace and others, do we need this when we're trying to get the UFO, UAP thing sorted out? Is this just not something else to add on to your plate right now that you don't really need? You know, you're going to a buffet and you're going to load up with a couple of the same thing. You don't put Chinese food, Indian food and, you know, British breakfast all on the same plate. It gets a bit weird. Let's stick to what we know here, folks, right? That's probably my worst ever analogy. But, you know, it just seems we're loading the plate up with so many different things here that don't quite match or are required at the same time. Stick to what we're doing, unless there is some kind of link down the line, but it really didn't seem like that was the case. So for me, if the main issue we're sticking to on this podcast, and many of you listening to this and watching this want to know, you know, it's non-human material, it's gatekeepers, contractors, private contractors, who's storing craft, who's keeping bits of biologics, do folks know that we're being visited by something else? Do we need this hearing on MKUltra right now? The answer's probably no, and I think their time could be used much better focusing on kind of one aspect to themselves. So yeah, let me know your thoughts on that one, folks. But for me, MKUltra hearing should have been kept for down the line another time, certainly. And that brings us to one of the biggest news stories probably of the year, because I think this is going to have legs and keep moving on. And that's Ross Coulthart and Lou Elizondo's back and forward, because this is exactly the question that Ross Coulthart's pushing around about who was involved in that legacy crash retrieval program and what do they know. This has always been considered for many the holy grail of the UFO topic, crash retrievals and retrieved biologics, bodies of pilots. I get a little bit over the top of that sometimes with the language because it's everything that people use these days, but alien spaceships, alien bodies, let's keep it plain and simple. That's what we're talking about here. So of course, last week you'll have heard when Pavel was on with me from Seco Activo podcast, we discussed Ross Coulthart claiming that Lou Elizondo was connected to the Legacy program. Now, Ross's argument wasn't just that Lou knows stuff. It was that Lou Elizondo has not been fully forthcoming about the true nature of his past roles. I think for many folks, Lou was brought on board with OSAP at the very end days of the program, that when they were trying to get it to go full time and a proper budget, proper black budget, SAP. I'm no Gerb. I'm not going to pretend to know all the lingo. But they were trying to get that program to be made official, and that was the one put off and all that we're working on. Lou came in late on. It went to shit. They didn't get the permissions they wanted. It sort of disbanded, but Lou carried it on in the guise of ATIP. And that's where we know Lou from, his role with ATIP, his work with ATIP, a sort of official, unofficial program. But it was legitimate. It was real. There was work being done. However, the conversation does change and a lot of the focuses now change around Lou Elizondo's direct knowledge, his role within ATIP, if he was indeed part of the legacy program. But then also, there was a period of time where a lot of folks were curious around Lou leaving his role. He resigned. There was this idea that he was putting himself out there. He lost a lot of money. There was a lot of sympathy for Lou. But now folks are wondering, well, if he was part of the legacy program, and indeed potentially still is part of whatever that was, there's a lot of grey areas now in Lou Elizondo's story. Maybe his second book clarifies that. I very much doubt it. I don't think his first book pointed very much to him being part of a legacy program, so there was clearly a lot of omissions there. Potentially, understandably though, given the NDAs that would be involved and everything like that. Elizondo responded on Chris Cuomo on News Nation. So interesting that Ross Coulthart makes the allegations initially on News Nation. Lou goes on to Chris Cuomo on News Nation, and folks, I've invited both Lou and Ross on at various points over the last couple of weeks and months. I think it's fair to say Ross largely sticks to his own show these days. I hope to get him back on in the future. He's a busy guy. And Lou Elizondo, again, he's a busy guy, but seems to stick to certain news programs, and that's it. So it's one of those things. I'll keep trying to get folks on. It's difficult, though, sometimes. He was respectful of Ross and has come back on Chris Cuomo's show. He did not deny the allegation, though. And one of the things that people picked up was that he said, you know, I won't confirm or deny. And for many folks, we always treat that as a, well, that's a yes then, isn't it? It's a sneaky way, a clever way of saying yes. Elizondo himself said, though, that that's not the case. He said even being part of a program or having an awareness of a program or an aspect of it can mean it's classified and you're not allowed to talk about it. He used an analogy about a program involving a tank that a particular department may or may not be aware of. I do understand that. But for me, Ross is being very direct with this, very, very direct. And that's the tricky balance here. Lou isn't saying Ross is wrong, I was never part of the legacy program, but he's also made clear his inability to answer shouldn't be read as confirmation. Ross Coulthart has then come back and responded on that. Ross has made the point that Lou did not deny it. Ross says that Lou was clearly being careful with his security oath, and I'm just making some points here from Ross's rebuttal. Ross repeated that there comes a time when Lou needs to be forthcoming about his past roles. Ross says Lou's tone has changed in recent years, especially after Grush, and I agree with that in multiple ways. And I've said that on the podcast in recent times, months and years. And Ross suggests that Grush may have put enough on the record that Elizondo can now say a little bit more. And finally, Ross mentioned his frustration at Congress not focusing hard enough on recovered material, craft, and the core allegations. So whether you trust Lou, you like Lou, or you don't like Lou Elizondo, the central issue is still, what has the US covered? Where is it? Who controls it? And who is blocking Congress? And again, this is why I'm a little bit nonplussed with the MK Ultra hearing. We did not need that right now. Not necessarily UFO related, but the folks that are really championing this topic, the Luna, Burchett, Burleson and co, could they just, ideally for me, this is a plea from me, folks, spend the time on the UFO stuff when you seem to be trying to make progress and headway.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Sticking with Elizondo, he appeared in this time with Tim Burchett on the Sean Hannity podcast, which takes the conversation from UFO podcasts, humble UFO podcasts like this, folks, which if you're watching on YouTube, definitely require your likes, your comments on the main video, your subscriptions. That would really be appreciated. I'm dropping this in now, but even if you're on the free feeds, the paid feeds, reviews, likes, comments, any sharing on audio or YouTube is massively helpful. So if you're watching this right now, go leave a like. If you're listening to it on Spotify or Apple or Patreon, jump onto the YouTube channel and leave a like. Any interaction really makes a big difference. So if I'm spending my Friday and Saturday preparing this, hopefully you're enjoying it enough to leave it that little like. Greatly appreciated, folks. But like I say, it's moving into that bigger mainstream conservative audience again on the Sean Hannity show. Little sidebar for you, very quick sidebar. I remember in the early days of having access to the internet and AOL back in the day, I went looking, because I used to enjoy as a geeky kid talk radio, and I used to listen to talk sport and talk radio quite a lot, and still do, and that's why I've got into podcasting. I found Sean Hannity online and used to listen to it late at night when he had one of his very early shows. As a kid who didn't really understand a whole lot of the politics of what was being talked about, but I used to enjoy it. The glory days of the internet, folks, back in the day. But anyway, sorry, Burchett and Elizondo on Sean Hannity. So for me, it matters because of the platform. A lot of the conversation are things we are familiar with. They touched on the cover-up. intimidation, hidden records, possible exotic materials, FOIA gaps, pilots, nuclear sites, and Trump-era transparency. Of course, we know both of these gentlemen. Burchett is a particularly big proponent of Donald Trump. So is Lou Elizondo. They can't say enough good things about him. So I don't think the Hannity appearance necessarily gave us the most detailed new information of the week, but it matters because of where and when it happened and this build of the mainstream covering this topic. And fair play to Sean Hannity. He was quite informed and involved in his interest in the UAP topic, and he took it very seriously. So, the timing's interesting. Lou being pressed by Coulthard about his own possible role in the legacy programmes, while also going on Hannity to argue the broader secrecy structure is real. It's an interesting kind of dichotomy, if that's the right word there, I hope, of that kind of being placed side by side. And if Hannity is the mainstream version, Fresh Freedom, Eric Burleson's podcast, was the technical version, because Eric Burleson sat down with Gerb, Hal Putov and Avi Loeb. And this is where things got very specific. And I'm going to give you the high-level, non-Gerb version of what went down. So a lot of folks have been praising UAP Gerb for this episode, and I can see why. And many of you listening to this will know who Gerb is, and I'm hoping to have him on the podcast real soon for an interview. If you're unfamiliar, very quickly, Gerb is a bit of a savant in terms of how much he knows, not necessarily just about the UFO topic, but the connections. And you know that Charlie Day meme from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one of the great comedies of all time, folks, where he's pointing at the spider web on the wall and he's like crazed look in his eye and he's got all the dots connected? Gerb can do that for departments, programs, names, officials, dates, times, places, contractors. It's ridiculous how he pulls this stuff off the top of his head. It is not normal. And I salute Gerb for what he is able to do. He is the anti-me in terms of having a good memory for this kind of stuff, right? Gerb asked very, very specific questions, like mechanically good questions, about specific classification systems, programs, contractors, gatekeepers, institutions. And Hal Putov, you know, who's a very well-known and respected scientist, especially involved in the UFO topic, the Stargate program back in the 70s, has sat there alongside Avi Loeb. A few key things I'll point out here for you, because I would recommend you go and watch that full podcast, folks. Gerb asked whether the Department of Energy could be a place to hide exotic or anomalous material because it sits under a different classification structure. Putoff agreed that the DOE has its own security system and would need to be pursued separately. This isn't a new line. This is one that needs to be kept and brought up regularly, though. This is stuff Tim McMillan, Lieutenant Tim McMillan, who is co-creator and founder of The Debrief, has been a big proponent of this now for some time. Tim doesn't dig as much into the UFO topic as he did 4 or 5, 6 years ago, which is a shame because I love Tim's work. Really good guy. I'll need to get him back on the podcast down the line. But that was something we talked about in the past. But yeah, he's putting Putov on the spot here, Gerb, and Putov at times. I don't agree with others that he was sweating or anything like that, and I'll come to that soon. But he asked some good questions. Maybe almost at times too specific, and we could have done with a little bit of moderation around that, because Gerb's so knowledgeable. You could do with someone perhaps filtering the questions a little bit to be a little bit more digestible for not only the person answering, but the people listening. I think there's a really nice, happy medium that could be done there. I'll always happily volunteer for that. You're probably better with a Joe Rogan platform, to be fair, folks, if you got Gerb, Rogan and a few other folks all involved in some kind of panel. But the DOE, restricted data, atomic energy authorities, classification systems that Congress cannot crack through normal routes would be the ideal place for a lot of this to sit. He talked OSAP versus ATIP. This is where Putov tripped up a little bit, okay? Whether you think it was deliberate or not, I'll leave up to you, folks. Putov said that OSAP was the structured funded program trying to get answers, while ATIP was more of the follow-on or semi-official continuation, not funded in any way the same way. And that's what I've just repeated before anyway. And that's something, again, we've known for a couple of years. But Putov definitely separated them as programs. And other times people try and blur them and mix them together. I think especially when all that information came out back in the day. Gerb asked whether Avi Loeb's new counsel could become another Robertson panel, which was a body, for some of you who don't know, used to reduce public concern and explain things away. put off and Loeb pushed back, with Loeb saying he considered whether he is being used, but currently believes there is genuine cooperation. Now, that's a fair line, but yeah, Loeb says he does not think so, but it's something people with this are really going to keep an eye on with the Security Council about, not necessarily the quality of work they do, but just in general, what comes out from them, the tone of the work, and what they're allowed to see. Remember, this Security Council folks aren't being given access to classified information, so there's potentially a bit of a holding back there already. They touched on gatekeepers. Now, Puthoff described gatekeepers as people whose job it is to make sure the Deep Legacy program does not get exposed. When asked if they are unelected individuals, he says yes, security type folks. That's one of the cleanest moments. The term gatekeeper gets thrown around a lot, but Puthoff describes them as unelected security types whose job it is to keep the Deep Legacy program from coming to light. Right, to make a point on that, and that's for me where we don't know how much of the Legacy program is exposed. We can make a lot of assumptions. We know it's a bit of a holy grail, but for all we know, it could also be a partial or major distraction from other real aspects of this topic that are still kept covered up, that still have not seen the light of day. And this is where I would love to speak to Gerb and get to know, you know, how does he separate the things he has learned that are fact from the things he has learned that are speculative, but also the things even he can't be sure are legitimate routes to go down. And this is something I wonder as I watch this conversation, and I would love to hear from you. If you're on YouTube, comment. If you're on any audio platform, please get in touch with me on this one. But as I watch this, I did wonder, is Puthoff getting trapped or caught up or caught out, as some folks are trying to say, or is he speaking around things that he knows Gerb is perhaps on the cusp of or getting close to, but he's not quite near or not quite right? And that is no slight on Gerb and his knowledge or his research. But Puthoff then doesn't want to bring in, you know, if Gerb's talking about A, B and C, Puthoff's like, yeah, but it's E, F, J, L and R and W and X that are the real interesting things that none of you are even talking about. But he doesn't want to bring those in. I just wonder, like, there's a lot of assumed knowledge and speculative knowledge. And Gerb's probably the best guy right now to come on any podcast. He's got his own great show as well, and talk about that kind of stuff. I would love to know the gaps, the grey areas, you know. That's what I'd love to speak to Gerb about. And he does such a good job here with Puthoff. I'd love to see. I didn't think we needed Avi Loeb in this conversation. I know Gerb has added quite late on to it, but I'd have liked to have seen just Gerb and Puthoff without anyone else in the background, to be honest, in a longer format. Gerb pushed the conversation beyond Lockheed and contractors into some of the stuff like FFRDCs, UARCs, MITRE, national labs, and places where institutional knowledge might sit. And the acronyms hurt my head as well, folks, don't worry. This was probably a real big strategic point and a real strength of Gerb's to stop only saying Lockheed. Look at semi-private architecture around government. National Labs, MITRE is a name that's coming up soon again with Burleson and what he's going after right now. So that may be where the programme memory and records sit. We don't know how compartmentalised and split up this stuff even is at this point. Another final key point from the interview, Burleson asked whether, because remember this was Eric Burleson's podcast that Gerb very much took over and he ran with the ball, folks. But Burleson asked whether if the Legacy programme had physical craft, that would accelerate Avi's efforts. Avi Loeb said he would like to see it and that the reality be more impressive than the fiction, but they still need to see it. So it was a practical question from Burleson, who is someone working with David Grush we know has, or we assume has, a level of knowledge, an assumed knowledge, or if nothing else. If the Legacy programme has craft, surely that's more useful than starting from scratch with new data. And that's Avi's point, but it's a really fair point. It's a little bit like looking at NASA flying to the moon with rocket propulsion, SpaceX testing all these rockets and spending all this money trying to get off with different propulsion techniques. And you've got NASA with the James Webb telescope looking for things in the universe. You've got Avi Loeb's Security Council starting to look at data to try and work out. But the point is, and I think this is something Ross Coulter alleged earlier that I pointed to, if there are programs literally sitting with alien bodies and alien craft and knowledge already, that's what we need to go after, because it totally negates the need for a lot of that other stuff. Because if we do have all this, and I'm sure Elon Musk doesn't want to hear it, a lot of the stuff he's working on has been a waste of time. Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin, absolute waste of time, other than giving Katy Perry a lift into space and back. So yeah, this is the thing where there's so much frustration, and I understand that, with the UFO community. Many of you listening to this and watching this, I think, are with me on that. It was a really good debate. I really enjoyed it. You know, new science is good, new sensors are good, but something's already been recovered here, folks. And for Avi Loeb, Congress doesn't need to reinvent the wheel. Do we need this council? And that's probably a frustration for a lot of folks as well. Sticking with a story on Eric Burleson, he talked to Ross Coulter, and I'll play a very quick clip for you now on that, folks, before I talk.
And are you aware that what that reel-to-reel recording that you now know exists, does it relate to crash retrieval and reverse engineering, allegedly?
It's my understanding that, without having heard it, that it's a U.S. Air Force general who is seeking the help and the guidance from some MIT scientists about some phenomenon that was existing and probably is related to the sightings over in Washington, D.C. before 1952 or in 1952.
Wow, so it goes right back to the 1952 sightings over Washington.
That's what we're speculating.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So Ross Coulthart was in Washington, D.C., as I've said on a few recent podcasts, for the Disclosure Forum event that I covered last week, and he managed to sit down with a few folks. He's got a really long form interview coming out with Gerb, I think, in the coming days, even perhaps this holiday weekend for many of you in the States. But he also sat down with Eric Burleson for an interview. It lasted about 21 minutes. The interesting points from that I've got for you here. Burleson telling Ross Coulthart his office is no longer just sending out broad UAP questions. They are now sending very specific interrogatories, named files, dates, locations, and descriptions. So agencies, contractors, people answering the requests have less room to dodge. They're asking for something very specifically that if they have it, they should be handing it over, folks. So they can't be spurious about, well, you asked for files on UFOs, but you know, we've got files on UAP, or we've got something from this particular date which isn't related to UFOs, but it mentions, no, they are now going very specific. Burleson on this, here's some notes from the interview, folks. Burleson said broad requests do not work. I agree, but we've seen that. He says the better method is to ask for specific files by name, date, description. He compares it to Chuck Grassley forcing the FBI to acknowledge a file once he gave them the exact file number and date. Burleson said this approach has already produced a result with MIT Lincoln Labs. Now, at first, I think a lot of us potentially thought, and I'll speak for myself then, folks, this was going to be a video from MIT Lincoln Labs, but the file is a 1952 reel-to-reel audio file. It does exist, and I think they're getting a hold of it. Ross asks if the file has been confirmed. Burleson says, yeah, it has, and it's in the process of being declassified and provided to Congress. Ross asks whether it relates to crash retrievals, reverse engineering, and Burleson says, without having heard it yet, his understanding is that it involves a US Air Force general seeking help from MIT scientists about a phenomenon possibly linked to the Washington 1952 DC sightings. So this could be really interesting for me. This is where Congress need to go with this, being more specific, not just asking for broad files, videos, They know what they're looking for because I've said before, they have a Grush. We have a Grush. And right now it seems David Grush is our best opportunity and Congress's best opportunity at getting specifics, at getting to the heart of this, the legacy program. Grush right now needs protected at all costs. And maybe that's why he's best not being the UFO czar guy put in charge of this, that he's maybe more useful outside of that particular role. So yeah, real interesting one there. When this comes out, it'll be big news. I hope it produces. I really do hope it produces. I'm not too sure what to expect from it. Are we going to get the general using specifics? Will they reference Roswell? Will they mention aliens, non-human bodies, different types of craft? Will they say this isn't Russian, it's not China, it's not us? I'm really curious on the language. And I think the language has to be really particular as to how this goes down. Before I get to some listener questions, folks, I've got one more quick news point to touch on, because I think I have to be fair with the balance of things. And this was Dr. Stephen Greer, of course. When there's any sort of major news or progress politically in Washington and elsewhere, Stephen Greer likes to put out his own announcement. And he put out a special global announcement, you know, no hyperbole needed. Stephen Greer released what he called a special global announcement. He says ET civilizations are real, technologically advanced, and not hostile. It's been his MO from the beginning. He claims they are concerned about nuclear weapons, human violence, and environmental damage. And he says secret ET programs or secret programs have studied ET energy, communication, and propulsion systems since World War II. I'm not going to spend ages on this, folks. And obviously, Greer makes various claims here. Let me play a very quick clip of Stephen Greer from his announcement.
It is time for us to unite as a people and create that good future now. In furtherance of this, I am asking that other nations around the world, including China, Russia, United Kingdom, the European Union, Australia, India, and the nations of South America and other regions, come forward with their covert files to the extent they can acquire them, and release them as soon as possible.
So as you've heard from there and through his video, he's calling for other nations, including China, Russia, the US, the UK, European Union, Australia, India, South America, to release covert files and hard evidence. He says he wants dispositive proof, not vague lights in the sky. I shake my head given some of the stuff that he has produced and released as proof. That's wild coming from him. Pot kettle black. He talks about craft, bodies, man-made reproduction vehicles, documents, photos, etc. He also says the US disclosure process has been hijacked. Folks will know I'm not the biggest fan of Greer and what he claims. And I think back in the day, he was quite well connected. Now, I really, you know where I stand with Greer. I think he is in this for many of the wrong reasons. I think he's mildly delusional and has, you know, an overinflated sense of himself. And that gets in the way of any potentially good messaging with this. He's so arrogant, folks, but I don't want to turn this into a Greer bashing as I normally do. He makes a fair point calling for other countries and insiders to come forward. I just wish, as he speaks for the non-human intelligences directly, it would be handy if they picked someone else, a few other people, or perhaps, you know, spoke themselves rather than just through Dr. Stephen Greer and his YouTube channel. That would probably help a little bit. But we're in this really strange place where so many worlds right now in the UFO topic are colliding all at once. And I wanted your thoughts on this. And boy, you folks really didn't let me down. So I'm going to read through some of your listener questions now. I'm going to get them appearing on the screen. Many of you know I've just upgraded the recording space I sit in. I've got a new boom arm for my mic, so my mic's not sitting really awkwardly in front of me anymore. I've got some more space for my hands. I've got a recording studio here that I can control my mic volumes and stuff. I've had for 2 years, but I've never been able to use it. I'm hoping the podcast is looking and sounding better than ever right now, because I'm using different cables and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully your support, you signing up to memberships and paying for the podcast, listening to the adverts, all that kind of stuff, liking, subscribing, commenting, blah, 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 is helping me, and you're seeing me put that back into the podcast too. So thank you, folks. But listen, let's get through these in no particular order. So Griff says, There's been back-channel whispers of Lou's involvement in the Legacy programme for years. Some go as far as to say he was the boogeyman others within the programme feared. What do you think would be the best outcome for Lou? Come clean or have a journalist rip the band-aid off by reporting who he really is and what he's done? That boogeyman comment is interesting because I know recently when Pavel was on and others, Pavel's quite well connected and well sourced in this. He is a journalist, folks, by trade. And he says there are many whistleblowers who, if Lou Elizondo is appointed into that UFO czar position, UFO guy, whistleblowers, some of them do not want to come forward and go through him. So that points to a potential issue with him being in that role. So I'm not too sure, because so many folks support Lou Elizondo and what he has done to get the topic where it is. Other folks have never liked the fact he was a counterintelligence guy, once counterintel, always counterintel. And now we've got this fact that we've had one story or narrative for Lou over the years, and potentially there's another aspect to it with the Legacy programme connection. And that's a real big piece of the puzzle to have not been in there before. So yeah, I don't know. Ross Coulter's comments and timing are also very interesting on this too. Now, there's every chance, given Lou and Ross's relationship and how friendly they still are, even publicly, have they colluded to do this? Is Lou encouraging Ross to say it now and try and get things moving? I don't know. I really don't know. Or is Ross just the dog with the bit between his teeth who isn't wanting to let go of an interesting part of the story? I don't know. I'd love to know people's thoughts on this. And if you leave comments on YouTube, I can get those. And if you're on the audio platforms, get in touch with me and I can use those for next week's show. Val Thor over on YouTube said, China and Russia are distinctly, almost suspiciously quiet. Why do we not hear a peep from these countries? Or am I just not looking in the right places? Do you know what? They are quiet. China, I think, is historically quiet on this kind of stuff. And Russia, I just think, is a little bit better at keeping this stuff secret. I suppose what they don't have are whistleblowers coming forward and speaking out, especially in those regimes. You tend to fall out of windows, you know, bad things happen to you. But then we're in a place right now where we have these missing scientists, McCasland and others, continually coming out. And I think Eric Burleson recently said, no, Burchett recently said on the Sean Hannity show, I'm pretty sure, it was at least 14. And he said, yeah, let's go with 14, implying it was even more. People connected to UAP and propulsion and programs have gone missing or have turned up not alive. So perhaps there are elements like that in the United States, but in those other countries, I think they're just a little bit better at keeping this quiet. But I've got to say, I appreciate how not good the US is at keeping this particular thing quiet, or at least they are controlling the narrative. I think for me that the easiest and maybe laziest answer is the US is just the country that's furthest ahead with this, who have made the most progress and right now have the folks who are most exposed to this that are coming forward. That may be a good way to put it. Quarrelsome B said, how are we supposed to analyse and filter what is known or claimed at this point in time without devolving into tribalism and camps? My guys versus your guys mindset that sets aside objective discussion. We can't believe everything, but we know we can't disbelieve it all either. I know that isn't a fresh or unique point of view, but I've been trying to figure out where I land in it all. The last thing that I heard, the thing I hear the loudest, the thing I hear most frequently. Yeah, it's a really good point. And all I'll say to that is people like myself and many others out there who do podcasts or journalists on this are trying our best to do the same and kind of wade through it and report it. And I like to think, even when I've got my own opinions on this, which I do enjoy sharing with all of you, I want people to make up their own mind. Never let someone like me come across and tell you what to believe or what not to believe, who to like, who not to like or trust. I'm just trying to report things as I see them and let folks like you, Quarrelsome B, and others try and work this out, because we are in the weeds. This is so messy. This is so muddy at this point of the UAP conversation. I have always said, try and keep your opinion fluid. Listen to everyone, but make up your own mind. And I think an interesting point, I can't remember if this comes up later in listener questions or not, but I've said recently, right now for a lot of folks, Lou Elizondo is potentially becoming a bit of a villain with a narrative emerging around him in the topic. But for a long time, for many, he was the hero. Not for everyone, but for many folks. And I quoted Batman, the movie, where Two-Face, as it was, Harvey Dent, says, you either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And is that just what happens with most topics, including UFOs, where the longer you are here, you're built up, and then the general public, like with any celebrity, does nothing more than to build a champion up and then see them fall and pull them down. And I don't know if that's just the same with the UFO topic too. Are we going to be here in a couple of years when something comes out about David Grush and a connection to the Legacy Program or something he then got involved in, and we're back to square one? I don't know. I really don't know. I hope not. But I think it's a difficult time and place for anyone to come into the UFO topic and land squarely on a narrative and who to support. I think you just have to look at the big picture. We are at a place where we are hearing a lot of huge statements and conversations being made in the mainstream media, in the huge political arenas, by huge political names, academic names, celebrity names in various different fields. And we just have to see where it goes. I really hope it keeps going forward at the rate it is. I hope it continues to give us new information. But I also understand other people's frustrations around that and potential perceived lack of information, okay? Dog behaviour makes the point here. Here's more optimistic. It's the little bubbles before it all comes to a boil in July. Hold on, because there is a there. And yeah, perhaps this is going to be a big month where we take a leap forward. It certainly seems, for all intents and purposes, if you go off of Grush's comments in early May, the drops of UFO information, the comments from Burleson, Burchett, Luna, the frustrations, something's coming that is going to maybe not change the whole conversation in a great way. Could be good, could be bad, could be, you know, both. But something's going to come to help us shape or give us direction. Maybe that's what's coming down the pipeline, and perhaps we need a little bit more direction right now. MJ Jump said, I like Lou and I like Ross. They both have done a tremendous amount for this topic. As far as crash retrievals go, people have been discussing them for decades. Leonard Stringfield is the crash retrieval OG. I'm sick of waiting for the public to catch up. MJ, I think there's still an element of the public are going to have to catch up with this at some point, but probably not until something majorly official comes out or gets released. And then that's the job of science, academia, the governments, to get people caught up. And that's where people like you, people like me, and people listening to and watching this are in a good place to help people in the public get caught up and get involved in the topic and know where to look, know who to listen to, know what to listen for, I think would be really, really important. So people like you listening to and watching this are going to have a part as and when things move forward with this topic. Absolutely. Jacob said, stuff was crazy this week. I can't help but ask myself, why is this all happening now? Are they going to use the hype around USA 250th anniversary as a buffer moment to bring this all out? Is there actually something on its way here? And the clock has almost run out. Excited to hear what Grush says on CNN. So yeah, timing-wise, I think I've alluded to that enough, Jacob, that I don't know. But it just seems to be there as a kind of boiling point coming. Is something on its way here? I don't think that's the case. I think you'd more likely have something already here waiting to kind of come out. David Grush did record an interview with Jake Trapper that was due to be aired on CNN, and it got pulled recently. So it has been recorded and is ready to air, just not quite yet. I don't know if it was Iran or whatever got that interview pulled, but there is another David Grush interview coming down the pipeline, folks. A few more questions from you then. And points. Eric says, is it just me, or is anyone else getting beyond frustrated with soft disclosure? They keep hinting at exotic technology and potential alternative life forms, but are offering no real evidence. Seems like another runaround, just like the Epstein files. I think you can see the frustration, Eric, and hear the frustration from the folks like Burleson, Burchett, Luna, where they're, especially Burchett and Burleson, where they seem to know they've got this glass ceiling, but they can see through the glass ceiling. They can see what's on the other side. They know what's on the other side, and they're just hammering as best they can, we hope, to try and get us to that next point. But it just seems like perhaps we've come so far and it just needs something else to break through that line. Again, in the next couple of weeks, I think we're going to know kind of where we stand politically on this topic. I said before, the third drop would tell us where we were with the UFO file releases. I think it did. you know, I don't think we should put too much faith in what's coming down the line with those unless something changes. But also, Grush made those comments about 60 to 90 days.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
It's going to be in July at some point, so here we are. Brian says, you'll only hear what they want you to hear. When one controls the knowledge, they never give up all their secrets. Yep, totally fair. KR, Lou is very clearly covering something up. I wish he would just cut the crap and say, look, I can't discuss some things, versus trying to pretend like some victim. That's, of course, personal opinion from KR, but I think very fair opinion. Everyone gets their say on this. I don't think you're going to get... Elizondo does also, especially, and this is where the point made earlier, where Coulthart said Lou had changed tone in the last few years. I think he has, and he can be quite hyperbolic at times, or quite vague and allude to things. I've almost felt at times, is it for dramatic effect or not? Because on one hand, it's he can't discuss either way. And other times, he hints at things. And it's like, well, what is it? I'm not too sure. And again, this whole situation with the legacy program stuff, we're not going to know more until Coulthart or someone else exposes that, or Lou comes out and clears things up. Scottish trumpet guy, cool name. The Scottish are very popular right now with a lot of the Americans, as we always have been, of course. So much to catch up on. There's never been so much activity on the topic, but, and it's going to remain a large fly in the ointment, where's the rest of the world on this? Nowhere. I'm wondering now if somewhere in the relevant past, say after 1947, the rest of the world just signed all of this over to the USA. Possibly because post-war, they were really the only country not reeling from the destruction of infrastructure and society like a lot of the world. The war was good for America. I liked in your recent chat with Pavel where you highlighted that idea. You highlighted the idea that behind the scenes, powers are trying to get everything lined up, probably in the aim of self-preservation. In fact, this could probably be said the same for the Epstein issue. I think a lot of what's going on in your question is dialing in on the finer points of how this topic is actually progressing. Question back for you. What have been the biggest UFO sightings of 2026 so far? Are you aware of that crop circles appear to be on the increase again? Loving the show. As always, keep it up. At crop circles, I would always recommend following folks like Karen Alexander online, and her work is really interesting. Karen's been on the podcast a few times. I've seen some really cool crop circles just today that have been posted when I was looking at X. Is certainly the season for it. Of course, the crops are growing back in various places in the UK. And regarding the biggest UFO sightings of 2026 so far, I don't think I've seen any one particular thing online that I've been able to say was particularly wonderful. I think it would have to be some of the stuff from the videos that obviously go back a few years, the UFO drops. But the issue is with X and Facebook and Instagram, the AI, the advent of AI, it just opens up so many doors that what does good look like or what does real look like? I would love folks to send me some really good ones. If you think there's been some really good stuff this year and you really don't think it's questionable, then send me it over, because I'd love to see it, and I'll even do a little show on YouTube where I talk through them and give you my thoughts and opinions. But yeah, I'm not too sure there's been anything phenomenal this year. I think I've been focused more on testimony and stuff like that. Josh, last couple here, folks, coming for you. Josh says, it can't get lost in the shuffle that Gerb got put off on record saying ATIP was a semi-official program, ATIP had no funding, and a specific part of the reverse engineering portion of the program was indeed halted in 1989, but not the program as a whole. These are significant clarifications that A, call some of Lou's past statements into question, and B, strengthen the Lazar narrative of they couldn't figure it out, so they brought in an outside-the-box thinker. Yep. Just some good points made there. I think Putov's point around things being partly halted in 1989, but not the program as a whole, makes a lot of sense. And we've heard that sometimes these things get put on kind of cold storage for a while and then they come back to it years later as our technology improves. But then that goes against us having triangles flying about that are human, you know, ARVs, reproduced vehicles. Joe says, I think Lewis skirted around the legacy program question and it didn't really answer it properly. Correct. And I didn't expect him to answer it properly either, to be fair. Last couple then, folks. I keep saying the last couple, but I think we've got three or four left. The bow needs to... This is from Roger. The bow needs to break at some point. Or the bow. Is it the bow or the bow? I don't know how long people can keep on talking without saying anything at all. I feel attacked, Roger. Just when it feels like it's getting past the point of no return, someone conveniently loosens attention of it all. If someone had access to a singularity or an artificial superintelligence, as it's been purported to be beneath the White House, per Matthew Brown, which can predict future events, it would make total sense to what's going on right now. We human intelligence may not be pulling the strings at all. It may have been ASI all along. Yeah, and I think that the AI conversation is one that is no longer going to go away. It is a part of our lives, much like before the mid-90s, mobile phones weren't much of a thing, the internet wasn't much of a thing publicly, social media wasn't a thing, and it's now an integral part of society. Same as computers. As computers got integrated into society, we couldn't live without them now. I think you're seeing that with AI. That's the future, and the very immediate future too. And it's going to play a part in the UFO topic, 100%. Eric says, maybe ask Ross Coulter if he knows who to talk to when Lewis says something like, it's not my story to tell, or if he thinks it's just a way for him to avoid certain questions. I would say Ross does know the names of those people, but probably would be burning sources if he shared them, because he'll be speaking to them directly, I would imagine. Kevin said, tricky call with Elizondo. Is he disclosing everything he can, steering disclosure for his gatekeepers, or something in between? I expect it's mixed, but I agree with Ross that people with the former or existing ties to the legacy program should not be trusted members of scientific advisory programs. And then final ones, David, and it is the last two now, folks, last two. David said, Gerb essentially cross-examining Puthoff was beautiful, and this is coming from someone who had been cross-examining folk for 30 years. But he had Puthoff on his heels with those questions about if and when the legacy program ended, with the ultimate revelation being that in reality it never did. Great stuff. Yep, totally agree with that, David, and I fully encourage folks to go and check out that Fresh Freedom podcast, episode 73. It's the most recent one. And then Scooby said, Ross should know that if Lou has been involved in anything else, he can't talk about it. Or is it a play to push the conversation further? And that's what we don't know. And that's a really good place to leave it, Scooby, because I think we're going to see and hear more from Coulter and Ross. And the best thing for it, I've seen people saying they'll host this, they'll host that. Obviously, I'd love Ross and Lou to come on here. The next thing we are likely to see is Elizondo on Reality Check and those having a sit-down interview. My only potential gripe with that is it's very unlikely they sit down without any prepared questions or discussion beforehand. I don't do interviews where I've spoken to the guest before for any length of time, other than a few minutes to say hi, and then I hit record. I don't know if that would happen in this situation, and I think it would have to for a really authentic conversation, and that's where I think a platform like Joe Rogan hosting or mediating between a Coulter and a Lou could be particularly useful on this occasion. Well, that's you caught up then for the week, folks. I hope you have enjoyed this and it's been pretty extensive for you. I tried to cover a lot of bases and a lot of news that folks have been asking for. I've been chatting at you now for almost an hour. One final thing for me, folks, a few things. Thanks to everyone who signed up to memberships on paid platforms over the last couple of weeks. It's been huge. Really, really amazing feeling to see all that, to be honest, folks. It really does make this all incredibly humbling, I suppose, to sound like a dick. The posters have been selling really well. I put more of those available on the store if you want to check those out. The Sphere and Loathing posters, go to thatufopodcast.com/store. You can order various different sizes. Thank you to folks buying those. Anything you buy in merch-wise off the store, I get a couple of dollars or pounds back, which is really helpful. And of course, you've got the book Atlas of Unidentified Flying Objects, still available on all platforms. You can go and check that one out. And that makes a big difference to me. Anything else I've forgotten, folks? No, the big one for me, again, if you're watching on YouTube, which is growing really at a rapid rate, your likes, your comments make a huge difference to any creator on this platform. It really does help boost things and send things out. So if you've listened to this to this point, go and hit like, go and leave a comment telling me what you enjoyed, leave a question. It really makes a huge, huge difference. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. Lots of great content coming up in the next couple of weeks. Just to remind you, folks, I've got a little list here of some of my coming up guests. So, old school notepad. I've got Michael Shermer on the podcast next week, who is obviously the skeptical voice on the UAP Science Council that has been very controversial, but he's coming on the podcast for a conversation. Matthew Tuttle, who is involved in the financial side of the UFO topic and potential investments and what that may do to markets, is coming on the podcast. Jason Somoza next week will be speaking, among things, Collins Elites, Hybrids, and all of his deep dives into the UFO topic. And Jonathan Kaplan, who has a wonderful book out right now, which is number one in the UFO charts. Let's get my book up alongside it again, if you can, on Amazon. Leave reviews and all that kind of thing too. Lots of great content to come. Really looking forward to the next couple of weeks and months. There's going to be a lot of news dropping, and that's what I'm going to be here for, recording for all of you in my much nicer space, which is greatly appreciated. So until next time, folks, I will speak to you all very, very soon.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.